So good to have you here. Wow. And how sweet it is. What a great song. We're back to the basics, and so this is the third part of a four-part series on the science of mind, our philosophy, and the talk title today is What It Does. That's what Ernest called it in the third chapter of the textbook, so that's what I'm calling it. It is, what does this creative intelligence do? What does it do? So on science, on the last page of this chapter, this is what he says. The field through which thought operates is infinite. Here and now, we are surrounded by and immersed in an infinite good. How much of this infinite good is ours? All of it. That's a really profound idea. All of it is ours right now. How much of it may we have to use? And this is the whole clue. As much as we can embody. What it is that we can say yes to, what it is we can envision ourselves, see ourselves as, that's how much of it we can have. So I want to start with a story of the Hindu sage Nasruddin. Nasruddin was, he taught lessons in ancient India. He taught lessons. And so in this story, Nasruddin was a vendor that went from town to town, and all of his goods were on the back of the donkey. And the donkey had a habit. The donkey loved chickpeas. Again, chickpeas in my life. Loved chickpeas. And so Nasruddin knew that the vendors didn't like it, the chickpea vendors didn't like it if the donkey got into their chickpeas, because not only did he destroy them, eat them, but he slobbered all over them, making them unsaleable to anyone else. So they thought of a perfect plan. The chickpea vendors would be on one side of the market, and Nasruddin would be on the other side with his pots and pans and the things that he was selling. Well, this worked until a chickpea vendor came into town that didn't know about Nasruddin's donkey. And he set up his chickpea stand right where Nasruddin was going to set up his stand. The donkey got into the market, and he smelled. He knew something good was just around the corner. So he started going a little faster and a little faster. He went right to the chickpeas before Nasruddin could stop him. His nose was right in that bag, and he was just gobbling up the chickpeas, and he would not stop. Now, this is our story, too. He was so involved, so addicted to those chickpeas, he couldn't stop himself. He was just gobbling up the chickpeas. Nasruddin was embarrassed, and it was going to cost him a lot of money because he was going to have to pay the vendor for all this. So he kicked him in the butt as hard as he could. And the donkey got really scared. So he took off. Nasruddin grabbed him around the neck. And he's just flying out of the market, flying down the road. And someone's coming up, hasn't seen all of this, said, Nasruddin, where are you going in such a hurry? He said, don't ask me, ask the donkey. But why that's a story about us is sometimes we let our minds that are so important to us, be that donkey. And some things we're addicted to, and sometimes it is those negative thoughts that don't serve us at all. The thing that is an untruth, that which is not true of us. So, made in the image and likeness of the One, you can have as much as you can embody of good, but that means you need to do the work to embody it. You need to plant those ideas in mind and continually plant them. Some people have asked, well, if this thing is so, why don't we all just know it when we're born? And actually, we were left, if we did know it when we were born, we wouldn't be free. So the Creator, who created us in its image and likeness, gave us that freedom to discover for ourselves what our power was, who we are, what our thinking does, how we can use it for greater good in our lives. How can we use it for greater good in our lives? So there are several ways, and I'm going to tell you about three ways that we can use this power. One is to affirm your worthiness. To affirm your worthiness, which means that you're making a positive statement of truth about yourself. And you are inherently worthy because you're the beloved expression of the divine. You're inherently worthy because you're made in God's image and likeness. That you were born not guilty. You're pure, pure spirit. And everything that you desire is already yours if you embody it, if you accept it and make it yours. So the first thing is to affirm your worthiness. And it's been said that in the human condition, the one thing that we have in common as a false idea is that I'm not good enough. It's a false idea. It's not the truth. It cannot be the truth of God, so it cannot be the truth of you. And you might, I know that you all are sitting there thinking, well, of course I'm good enough. But my sister could use it, right? It's the common human false idea. So no matter when you're looking around, someone is self-conscious about themselves for a reason that you would find ridiculous. But it's absolutely true for all of us that we have those false beliefs, and somehow we believe them to be true about ourselves. So we kept nurturing that false idea, and the false idea then continues to grow. The reason that there are a pair of earrings is I wanted to tell a story that Naomi Remen, who is a medical doctor and a writer, and she is a wonderful writer, very down to earth. I think one of her books is Tales My Grandfather Told Me. She's just really, you'll love her books. They're books of stories about her life. And she tells a story that her family always celebrated Christmas. They had a great tradition of having gifts and having them well wrapped. And then her father went bankrupt. And the year that he went bankrupt, Christmas was different. There were still presents under the tree, but not nearly as many. And they were wrapped in newspaper, not in special papers. And she noticed that this one box was a velvet box. And she was so surprised when her father got it from under the tree and gave it to her. And she opened it, and there were these gorgeous, gorgeous earrings. Very expensive, made of 24-karat gold, absolutely exquisite. She was 12 or 13 years old. And she looked at them and thought, these can't possibly be mine. And her dad said, honey, go and try them on in front of the bathroom mirror. See what you look like. Well, she did that. And she put on these beautiful earrings. And all she saw were her imperfections. She saw the pimples on her face. She saw that she was kind of still scraggly and awkward, and she ran out of the bathroom and threw her earrings at her father and said, how could you do this to me? It was so mean of you to give me something that would make me feel so inferior, so ugly. And her father said, honey, I know that these don't fit you now, but I know that you're going to grow into them, and someday they will look so beautiful on you. What a wise father. What a wise father to know that maybe at that moment she didn't feel worthy of this beautiful gift, this beautiful way to adorn herself, and maybe it wasn't appropriate for then. But indeed, knowing that she would grow into a beautiful woman, which in fact she did, a beautiful, beautiful woman. So are there places in your life where you're making up a story? Were you making up a story about not being good enough? Were you making up a story that you're not pretty enough or smart enough or young enough or courageous enough? And it's stopping you from moving forward in your life. Whatever that story is, today is the day to affirm your worthiness, to remind yourself that you're this magnificent spiritual being that's filled with this great potential and that great potential for good. is just sitting waiting for you to become aware that you can plant that dream in your own heart, that it is for you. So affirm your worthiness. The next one, I was watching one of my my prayer partner, Lisa Stewart, has a center in Milwaukee. And so this, I was watching one of her services. And at the end of the service, just before she was finished, she called someone up. And it was a student of hers. And Cheryl, you're going to like this story because it's about Joseph Murphy. So she called him up, and he said he wanted to share something that he had seen in their bookstore, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy, and he started reading it and thought he would practice one of the ideas in the book. And one of the ideas was simply last thing at night and first thing in the morning to affirm, I am the beloved son of my heavenly father. I'm the beloved son of my heavenly father. You could say I'm the beloved child of my heavenly father. He didn't say of my earthly father. And yet something miraculous said, he said, he did it for 30 days. And after the first 2 weeks, he started to notice that he no longer had judgment about people. People would do things and he'd just go, oh, it's okay. Oh, they just did that. Whereas he knows himself that in the past, he would have had some reaction or response. But something was happening on the inner level. He said at the end of 30 days, now he was a pretty newly divorced man, and he had a daughter that was going to be graduating high school. And so he and his ex-wife got together. And he said, I noticed that it was easier to talk to her than it ever had been. And in fact, we talked about what a good job we'd done with his daughter and how well we'd raised her and what a fine young woman she was and that both of us were important to this. And he said, and then we just decided to go for a walk together. Imagine that, going for a walk by your own choice with your ex. And so they did, and they were enjoying the walk. And he said there was an estate sale. And he said to her, you know, I've been thinking that I really would like a painting to put on the wall of my living room. It's bare, and I would like that. So he, and part of the story I didn't tell you was, he was doing this whole 30 days because he had regret from his past, blame for his father, who had left him and his mother and had married another woman. And his father was a landscape artist, and he had dozens and dozens of paintings. And when they were children, they all went to the various places where he was selling these paintings. And then when he died first, his ex-wife wouldn't part with any of them. They became his new wife, I should say, became her property. And the children were upset. So anyway, he went to this estate sale, and they looked around, didn't see anything. And is there anything else, he asked. And yes, they pointed him to a back room. There are a few paintings in there. It was one of his father's paintings. One of his father's paintings at this estate sale. So, of course, he purchased it. And he said, and that wasn't even the end of it. So now he had this thing that he had wanted as a child, his father's painting, and his mother called him and his brother and sister, and she said, you know, when your dad died, I now get some money from him, and I think it actually should go to you children. So here, this man who'd had issues with his father for having left him is now received a check for $1,500, and so did his siblings, because she thought that he would appreciate it. And she said to him, this is really a gift from your father. Your father is giving you this gift. How beautiful, because it was. So here's the thing. When we do our spiritual work, there will be newness. There'll be new ideas, and they'll be good. It'll be easy to talk to the people that we were used to be cranky with, right? It'll be easier for us to live life happily and fully. So affirm your newness. And you may think to yourself, there's nothing new about me. But I'm telling you, if you're willing to do just a tad of a spiritual practice every day like he did, morning and night, I am the beloved son of a heavenly father. And so he went to sleep with that on his heart and mind, and he woke up the first thing he thought in the morning. And newness occurred. That's how it works. That's what it does. Okay, so this is a photograph of footprints, which you, many of you know the poem. I'm not going to quote it to you. But it's to remind ourselves that God is always present with us. Always present with us. And when it looks like we're doing it all alone, then God is carrying us. That we are being supported by this infinite being. The prophet Jeremiah was called to be a prophet when he was a young man, or maybe a child. It says youth. So maybe a teen, maybe a kid. And he said, it was in a dream, and he said, Lord, I can't speak. I'm a kid. I can't do this thing you're asking me to do, to go and talk to the kings and tell them what your desire is. And it says that the Lord God said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. And in the dream, the Lord put his fingers on Jeremiah's mouth and said, your words are my words. So here's the thing, each one of us, that's true of each one of us. Before we were born, God knew us, because God is that expression of self within us. That is the wholeness of life itself. God knew us. And not only that, God consecrated us, blessed us, set us on a path that would be good and good only. And most of us fall asleep at times. And as Brené Brown says, when we fall asleep, well, she doesn't say it this way, she says, our tendency as human beings is to cover up, to shrink in when there's something going on for us, when there are things that are troubling us. And as soon as we do that, shrink in and cover up, metaphysically we're giving it all the power it wants. We're just saying, okay, I believe it. I believe this thing that I have now pronounced. So Friday, I had a great surprise. And it wasn't a good birthday surprise. It was an awakening birthday surprise. My, for at least 2 months, someone has been defrauding my bank account. $100 here, $80 here, $90 there. And you know how I finally twigged to it was simply that they were all at service stations. Now, I drive a Prius. You can't get $100 worth of anything in that Prius. At the very most, $35. So I should have seen it much earlier. And I've been doing this should thing to myself. But I need to tell you so there wouldn't be energy around it. The first person I told said, oh, that's too bad because the bank won't give it to you back. My banker said, of course we'll give it to you back. Cancel that idea. But here's the thing, what I had to do in my consciousness is ask myself, when did I decide to start playing the victim? When did I give my power away? And what am I going to do about it? Well, what I'm going to do about it is the same thing you do about it when you see that in some way you're playing the victim. You plant a new seed. You start telling a new story. You affirm the truth about yourself and then revel in that truth. God is all there is, and God is for you. Those of you who were here at the very beginning of the meditation I did earlier know that I did the meditation Reverend Bruce led us in as ministers. It was very simple. It was just this. God is all there is, and God loves me. And what happens when those ideas go through your mind, God is all there is, and God loves me, is that you awaken to the awareness of who you really are. God is all power in me, awaiting my word. So what I did was I actually traced back to the very moment. I know exactly when it happened, when I started playing this victim game, and I know exactly when it stopped. Be willing to tell yourself the truth. Here's the thing. All we have to know, the only clue we have about what is our sum total of consciousness is to look at what's going on in your life. That's all. It's the only thing you have. There is nothing else. That's all. And if you can then do it without judgment, without blame, without regret, and you can just look at it and go, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? It's not the truth, because the truth of you is magnificent. The truth of me is magnificent. I live in the presence and power of the one life that is God. So as you're moving forward this week, knowing that what it does, there are two things it does. It guides you. It guides you. It is love itself, and it's guiding you. If you just listen, but you have to get still to listen, if you're in your busy, busy, busy mode, you won't hear it. It guides you. And then the other wonderful thing it does, it makes things up. It makes stuff. It brings stuff into manifestation. It creates friendships. It creates wealth. It creates well-being. It creates right action. It creates all good. And we can always count on it. There is an AA saying that you're as sick as your secrets, and it's one of the reasons I love Brené Brown's books. Say, okay, the most powerful thing in the world to do is to reveal it all. Even when you're scared, tell the truth. Tell the truth. So this afternoon, I hope you'll join us, because Reverend Patricia did that journey by herself. It's one of the most courageous acts I've ever known of for a woman to go that far away by herself. So she has a wonderful story to tell and some pictures to share. What do you want? It's yours. Claim it. It's yours right now. Claim it. Today, before the prayer, I've asked Diane to set our consciousness. So if you just get still and listen to these beautiful lyrics, and then I'll guide us all in the prayer that I need to hear, and you need to hear.
I am opening to your love. 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 Safe in your heart, safe in your arms, safe in your heart, safe in your arms. I am opening to
in this holiest moment of now, I recognize that that presence, that power, is the only thing there is. It is everywhere present, all-knowing. It is divine love, bringing comfort and understanding to those in need. It is guiding, guarding, protecting, directing. And it is in smiling repose, awaiting each one of us to make our claim, to know who we are. So in this holiest of moments, I speak this word for each one of us, and I do it in the first person. I know for each one what I know for myself. I am enough. I am more than enough. I know that there is more than enough, for I am made in the image and likeness of that divine presence that is the creator of all, the supplier of all. I know that I am connected to that one. I am in partnership with God, and that partnership is holy, and I invite that indwelling spirit, the Holy Spirit within me, to be my words, to be my engagement, to be my participation. And so that partnership is alive in me in every good way. And I know that I welcome newness in every area of my life. I welcome newness in my prosperity. I welcome newness in my relationships. I welcome newness in my health and vitality, knowing that I am an ageless being. I welcome newness in my creativity and in the words that I speak. I go forth this morning knowing that I am uplifted, that I am reminded of the one power that I am. And with that reminder, I simply give great thanks. I'm so grateful for this law and for the love that always guides. And with my heart filled with gratitude, I release this word to the action of law. And please join me in saying, and so it is.